Concluding our program today, Denise Morris interviews Old Mole Jan Hawken, Director of Necessity, Oil, Water, and Climate Resistance, about a panel coming up on May 6th titled Climate Resistance, Art, Action, and Allyship.
Good morning, Jan. We're here this morning on the Old Mole to talk about an upcoming event on May 6th titled Climate Resistance, Art, Action, and Allyship. This is related to your work with the Necessity films, Necessity, Oil, Water, and Climate Resistance, Part 1, and the upcoming Part 2 film. The panel will be hosted by Portland State University and includes Oregon-based artists, activists, and an attorney who bring their wisdom and knowledge to the Necessity Film Project, which again is a two-part documentary that features Indigenous leadership in responding to the climate crisis. Jan, let's start with the title of this event, Climate Resistance, Art, Action, and Allyship. Can you talk about how these parts go together?
Well, I love alliterations. Beyond that, I think there's a side of effective social movements that's sometimes called cultural work that is often unrecognized and unappreciated. The aesthetic side of social movements, the way beauty, joy, and gratifying production of a vision of the world and a vision of a better world are part of also the educational organizing parts of social movement. So as an academic, I moved into filmmaking partly thinking of it as a form of art. And when it's done well, I think people have the right to expect a satisfying cultural or aesthetic experience when they watch a film, even a film about a daunting topic like the climate emergency. And with this panel, we have a number of people who are really working on the creative side of activism, both the Sunrise Movement. Susie Kassoff will be there talking about the role of joy and pleasure and creativity in climate resistance. Activists who were at the center of a trial that will be featured in Necessity Part 2, a trial of activists who occupied the site at Zenith and were part of using the Necessity Defense at trial last year. And that trial will be central to Part 2 of the film. And that also involved a very creative use of an action of sitting on railroad tracks at Zenith, one of the most dangerous polluters in the region, Zenith Energy in Portland, a big oil terminal storage facility. But the action included use of art and images, the planting of a garden that were meant to kind of prefigure a different vision of the community and of a sustainable future. With our panel on May 6th, attendees will get a sneak preview of some of the art in the film itself, created by Asa Wright, who's a member of the Klamath tribes and someone who's been very involved in art and the design aspects of decolonization and social change movements and radicalism. He's an incredibly gifted artist, and he created animated art to accompany a story included in the film. And the story was written by Umatilla storyteller Esther Motonic, who was a beloved storyteller with the Umatilla Confederated Tribes, who died some years back. She wrote a story called The Monster Who Came Up the River. And in the film, it's narrated by Don Sampson, who's the chief of the Walla Walla tribe. And we use this story and the art to represent both the power of Native storytelling, but the metaphorical way you can use visual storytelling as well to represent a horrific problem, the climate crisis, but also build a sense of vision and hope and imaginative capacity for a different world. So in all of the film projects that my team and I, the team that has been working on this and I've taken up, we try to draw on Indigenous imagery in our map making using iconic images from Indigenous communities whose stories are included in the film, to give a feeling for the region and the cultural language of the locale as well as the broad global crisis we're all facing.
Well, Jan, we'll have certainly plenty of opportunity to talk more about the film itself as it evolves and is completed, a process that is generally not easy, and I applaud your continued dedication to making documentary film,
you
and your team. But let's let people know then the details about how they can participate in the panel and where to go to find the film Necessity Part 1 to view, and what that all looks like for May 6th.
Part 1 is completed but not yet in distribution, although hundreds of teachers have shown it through the Zen Education Project, and they're able to show up for free in their classroom, and we've had over 200 requests for the last 6 months for teachers to show the film, and as a film that students like to watch because it educates on the history of civil disobedience, the role of legal strategies and indigenous leadership in the movement, but it's also a hopeful film and an inspiring film. So attendees who register through Eventbrite, and they can learn about how to register through our website, necessitythemovie.com, or our Facebook event page at Necessity the Movie. But attendees can, when they register through Eventbrite, they can give any amount they can to support this project, and then they get a link to watch Part 1, which is not yet available to video on demand. And then they also will get a link to join the panel on May 6th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. and to learn more about these incredible people who are part of either featured or the creative process of Necessity Part 2, which is set in the Columbia River Gorge and also features indigenous leadership in climate resistance and the fight against fossil fuel transport and terminals in the region, and includes, in addition to Asa Wright and Susie Kassab, who I mentioned, it includes co-director of the film, Sam Prowse. It also includes Darrell Kalika, who's a tribal attorney on the faculty at Portland State, and activist and retired social worker, Kathy Sansoncruza. And we see some of the work she's done in blocking a megalode some time back and carrying tar sands pipes up through tribal lands. And I hope that in watching Part 1 and also joining the panel this week, people will not only support this project, but learn from these inspiring and committed activists and want to join the struggle, including a focus we have on the role of civil disobedience and nonviolent direct action in the climate movement.
Sounds amazing, Jan, and we'll definitely have links to this information on the Old Mole website at kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour, and we'll look forward to watching the film and to the panel. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Denise.